Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That's the best one right there.
It's funny, my teammates say, you act like you just got out of prison. I said, well, you know.
I would be mentally a lot sharper at this point had I eaten more cheese.
You know, obviously, kind of like the master and the, you know, Padawan.
It's never been about revenge. It's about a reckoning.
Hey, what up? It's Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. You're listening to Poor Man's Package Podcast. Go, Pack, go.
Tonight, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll. Let's roll.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I'm Spencer, joined as always with Kyle and our producer, Hank.
Hello.
Hello.
And, you know, after last week, Hank, with the amazing, according to Hank, we talked right after the pod, you know, he talked some shit about sparkling water. I, for one, am a bit of a fan. So, to start things off, I have some cherry bubblies for both Hank and Kyle.
Thank you, Spence.
Thank you so much.
We're going to have a very quick taste test here. Oh, yeah. That's the good audio.
It tastes like if you let Kool-Aid sit out for like 6 months.
I'll take that. That's not too bad.
And like somehow, like all the sugar disappeared.
The reason I like bubbly or sparkling water is just because like I'm used to chugging way too much, not chugging, but drinking way too much Mountain Dew. And it's like, okay, I don't need sugar.
Oh, you need the... You're a pea brain where you need the stimulation of carbonation.
Exactly.
But you're not getting the taste, so you gotta got it.
Yeah. I would say it's like breath of cherry.
Ooh.
More of that style. Yeah. And like the motto being no calories, no sweeteners, all smiles.
Ooh.
I think it should be like no calories, no sweeteners, some smiles. Because only some of us are smiling right now.
I will say though, the second sip was much better. I think it's growing on me already.
Like some of them are pretty like blah, but like to be fair, like this, like you can actually kind of taste the cherry.
See, and that's what I'm going for. It's like I'd rather drink this than water, and you know it's between soda and water.
Yeah, you can't drink all this soda. All right, that's enough bubbly talk.
All right, way more than...
Wait, no free ads. That's enough sparkling water talk.
There we go. So to start things off, we did win this week. Got the monkey off our back. But first, I think we'd be remiss to not mention the NFC North. Most notably, we are recording in Minnesota, the Minnesota Vikings. What a beautiful... I'm sure you guys saw the call from Paul Allen at the end there. Just another day in the life of a Vikings fan.
Yeah, that was... It was so... It's so cruel how that transpired, too, because he... The way the call goes down... If you haven't heard the call, I mean, pause it and immediately go watch it. It is worth every second.
I'll put it in right here.
High snap. Put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone! No, he missed it. Missed it right.
Okay, so as you can see, he says good, and like that he stretches out the good long enough to where if you're listening to that in the car, you have that moment of yes, yes. Like you have that flash second of hope and like, you know, they won and, you know, celebration. And then all of a sudden, oh my God, he missed it. And it's like, I can't imagine the roller coaster of emotions that a listener went through if they listened to the game in their car.
I didn't think of that either. You would imagine there would have been some viral videos of reactions, but because it was on the radio, no one was recording radio
themselves
reactions.
Listening to it. Yeah. That would be amazing content, though. Damn.
Maybe next time.
But then again, this is such a rare occurrence, and I'm so glad it happened to Paul Allen, because it's like, how do you mess that up, man? Like, come on.
I did put out that clip of all his great calls during Vikings' terrible demises at the end of games, but it's, once again, one of the reasons why Wayne Larrivee is so great for the Packers is that he's very even keel, so he doesn't allow himself to have those terrible calls like
that. What's your favorite of that little compilation you put together?
This one was pretty good. If it were higher stakes, it probably would have been number one. But the best is the Cardinals back in the day.
Okay.
Where he's like, this can't be it. This can't be the end. And plus, it also benefited the Packers, too. If that didn't happen, the Packers wouldn't have made the playoffs that year.
Speaking of not being it, when does Paul Allen start to just think that maybe he's not it and maybe he's the problem after being there for all these moments? And I mean, if I feel like a smarter man. In those moments between before a field goal, it'd be like, as a fan, I'm getting out of the booth. I'm getting out of the booth here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do what I can do for my team.
Fall on the sword, yeah.
It's one of the weird things where even play-by-play guys, I guess less so than reporters, but you're supposed to be a little unbiased. And I can't imagine there's a more biased play-by-play guy out there.
Not even close.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And so, like, if you're going to do that, just be a fan then.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and he wears it on his sleeves. It is kind of cool, though, that he did start off from calling horse races here locally at Canterbury and eventually just moved up the ladder to calling Vikings games. But either way, I still fucking hate him. Moving on, we do have a podcast this week, as you can tell, because we are talking. We'll have our pick six back. It's more of a game this week, unlike last week where it was just kind of crawling out of the depression hole.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have pick six, review of the game. We'll have Is Kyle an Idiot? As always, we might have take news if there's time, and we'll have a preview predictions of the Niners game. And of course, we'll send it off with According to Hank. But first, pick six.
Yes.
Pick six. Pick six. Pick six.
All right, pick six for the week. Starting things off where I think anyone could guess. More of the same. First quarter, 3rd and 1. Goff hits Quinton Cephas for a 47-yard gain. I think we all remember who was on that one. Kevin King, once again. He got beat twice on the play. Immediately off the line, where I don't even know if Cephas made a move.
Yeah, which is, it's because, again, it was 3rd and 1, so it's weird that, when Cephas is initially open, he's not thrown to right away, but then, Kevin King just kind of laxes a little bit and then gets beat a second time. It was very frustrating.
Well, and imagine, like, Kevin King, you're like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I didn't just get burned there.
And then, he didn't throw my way.
How can this, and it got worse.
It's one of those, too, I guess I hadn't thought of it until now, where we keep pushing for Kevin, if he is going to play outside again, to press at the line. But I guess seeing that on 3rd and 1 and he is playing close, to just completely fall flat is pretty bad. But
yeah, I mean, was that their first drive of the game?
Yes.
And yeah, it was just, you see that play happen because it's just everything that is frustrating about this defense. They get to a 3rd down. Granted, it's a 3rd and short. Technically, they don't even cover up the initial read of the play, but there's enough time for where Goff doesn't need to go to his initial read. He has enough time to wait, and then he gets open again, and it's a big chunk gain, and it's just like, first drive of the game that eventually leads to a touchdown, and it's like, well, no adjustments were made from week 1. Like, same old. Here we go again.
It was one of those two where he had so much time in the pocket. 47 yards was almost better than I was expecting. With him going deep, it's like, oh, God, if they catch this, it's a touchdown. It's oh, actually not. But a couple plays later, obviously, they did end up scoring. And that play too, it came out, Matt LaFleur after the game, he did say, directly after the game, but he said that was Kevin's
coverage, yes. Touchdown play where it was, yeah, they did. I mean, and I imagine that's such a, like, that's got to be like day one goal line / red zone stuff where that route concept of like the whole switching, like that has to be like a very basic, you know, assignment thing where you kind of know, like, yeah. You should see, if you see twins on one side, you should know that to be prepared who has what if that comes to it. And it's just surprising.
Exactly. And to piggyback on that too, watching the replay, you see Eric Stokes, I mean, they do this every time anyways when there's a broken play, but he looks behind him and he's like pointing, looking around, and it's like the rookie knew what he should be doing when Kevin King didn't. Yeah, so.
Exactly. Just kind of a Kevin King drive in a nutshell, and at least the second half turned around a little bit for the cornerbacks.
Yeah. 36 seconds left in the half. Tie game, 2nd and 8. Packers rush 4, and Goff has all the time in the world, throws it over the middle for a 25-yard pickup. Eventually, they get a field goal. Once again, this is just more of the same. That first half, and I feel like a broken record, where the first 6 quarters this year especially, it's like I could not remember a single blitz. And seeing that was the play, too, where we were looking at it before we recorded here. Kiki, Gary, Preston, and Kenny all rushing, and no one really does anything.
Yeah, it would throw in. With those 4, you would think there's going to be some uncomfortability for the quarterback. But it's because it's not like it's Lancaster and Dean Lowry out there,
right,
like trying to get to the quarterback. It's 4 of our, you know, main studs on the D-line. And it was just hard to watch. They're like, Rashawn Gary's like doing the patty cake thing with his O-lineman. Preston gets kind of shoved inside by a tight end and then gets buried by the tackle who picks him up. And Kenny, I mean, he got double teamed and was just kind of fighting for his life. But just a sad attempt.
What I want to know is, like, you know, like the way Rashawn Gary plays and like kind of does that like pat a cake thing, mm-hmm. Like going back and forth. Like, I just imagine him like saying like pain, 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 pain,
pain. Trying to channel it. Yeah.
He is very choppy with every movement he does. It's still, we'll get into it later, but with Z being out, you kind of wish you saw more from Gary too. And like you said, there, we're going to blame Barry for a lot of this stuff, but at the same time, with those 4 guys, you would have expected...
Players got to play.
Players have got to play, yeah.
We could introduce a new segment, Barry or Gary.
Ooh. And just kind of a... And Gary obviously represents the defense as a whole. Mm-hmm. Little open source brainstorming. I like it.
Yep, this is like, this podcast is like at times a workshop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very true. That led us into halftime, which, I mean, that first half was brutal. It was, there's a very good meme put out there. I forgot, Nate Temple, I believe is his name, where, you know, very excited guy. Oh, Packers scored a touchdown. Very unexcited guy. Here comes the defense. And that's all that first half really was.
Hey. They scored touchdowns, though, 2 of them in the first half.
That's true.
That's pretty cool.
It was quite the improvement.
Pretty cool. Didn't see any of that in week 1.
It was 17-14 going into halftime. Packers for the 3rd pick 6 play, facing a 3rd and 12 after a sack. And it was one of those moments, we all did watch the game together. And after that sack where Rodgers just turns around straight into the guy, it's like, man, this really isn't going well. It's like, are we going to lose this game? And as soon as that thought kind of creeped in, we have that massive bomb to Davante Adams. Roger said it too, where that kind of changed the direction of where the game was going. I think everyone started to feel a lot more confident after that play.
Yeah, sparked everything. And yeah, it was a, because it was the very first drive out of half, and yep, it was the very first set of downs. It was like they hadn't picked up even a first down yet. And yeah, it was, and they're down 3 at this point, so you're just kind of ticked off as it is that the defense just let up 17 points. And then, oh, it's like, oh, well, now we're gonna have to punt the ball away again. Defense probably gonna have to let up points again. And yeah, it was like we were watching it and the play happened and we didn't celebrate the way we should have, and I'm regretful of that,
right?
Because we were just so frustrated.
I'm just like still having trouble celebrating the way that I should have, right? Like, I even like, yeah, after that big play, after all the touchdowns, like, I don't know.
It's the alchemist, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not. There's no gold here. But I I think like I'm like half in the hole, right? Like if like I'm just like half of me is depressed, half of me is a little hopeful. So like that's how I'm feeling right now.
A healthy balance.
Two plays later is when Tonyan had that touchdown to go up. And once again, that was their first lead of the season, which how negative I think everyone felt that far into the game. It was like, oh, shit. Okay, we're actually winning the game now, mm-hmm. which felt surprising. Next pick six play, the score at this point was 17-21. A fourth and one midway through the third. And I forgot who mentioned it today, but I think we can remember back to that Rams game in 2018. In LA, where
the Ty Montgomery game.
Ty Montgomery game, but that was also kind of the Jair Alexander game. The first game where we were like, oh, this guy might be pretty good. Fourth and one, like I said, Goff throws it outside. Eric Stokes in coverage denies it. Turnover on downs.
Great coverage.
Could this be the Eric Stokes game, perhaps? Oh. He did in the second half. Him and Kevin King did swap where Stokes is playing outside, King was playing inside. So more snaps, the better. He is the highest rated cornerback, rookie corner right now, according to Pro Football Focus, which you always take with a grain of salt. But that was nice to see the defense actually do something.
Well, and I'm pretty sure he's higher rated than all the Vikings cornerbacks right now.
Patrick Peterson is bad.
Dreadful.
He does not have legs anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you were right last week, too, where he did get a one-year, $10 million contract. As bad as Kevin King's is, I mean, maybe you could argue Patrick Peterson's good in the meeting room and shit, but Kevin King, 1 year, $5 million versus Patrick Peterson, 1 year, $10 million. It's a little better, I guess.
I don't think maybe I have told this story before, but I'll never forget. My roommate is a Vikings fan, and when I was free agency started, and this was around the time the Deshaun Watson news, not the nasty news, but the he wants out of Houston news. My roommate just starts going nuts. Like I'm in my room just chilling, and he just starts going nuts and like, oh my God. Oh, I can't, whoa. And I'm thinking, holy shit, they just got Deshaun Watson. No way. No way. And then I check Twitter. Patrick Peterson, 1 year deal for $10 million. I'm like, really, dude? Yeah. That's what you freaked out about? Like, he honestly thought they just won the Super Bowl, his reaction, and I was worried.
I got a text from a Viking fan, too, when that happened. And I remember I was driving, and he texted me, Patrick Peterson, exclamation point. And I was like, I thought he was texting me because of Packers sign. I'm like, it was almost like the Jimmy Graham signing. Like, well, I guess I could kid myself.
Yeah, that's excited. A name.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he's not looking.
Not what he once was.
Yeah. After that, the next pick six play, these just kind of doubled up. Blast from the past. Back-to-back third down conversions to Cobb late in the third, a third and 14 and a third and 7. His first receptions from Aaron Rodgers this year. But it's for all the flack that some fans had with Rodgers kind of forcing this Cobb trade, it was nice to see him back in that role where he knows where the sticks are, you know, just settle down, make the catch, keep the chains
moving. And to quote Rodgers himself, Old Faithful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to be fair, I feel like those were the catches that you'd see like EQ drop last year.
Yes. Absolutely.
Or MVS like year one, year two, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that after that, we did score once again to make it 17-28. It, you know, everything was really looking up after that. The last play, the last pick six play, I feel like you kind of have to put it in here just for how different the first half and second half was. Last play of the third, Jared Goff fumbles the snap, Packers recover. I believe it was Chris Barnes, and the game is pretty much over after that. One of those, we did blitz a little bit more in the second half, but at the same time, it started to rain, and that seemed to be a larger detriment. Goff also got sacked when he kind of brought the ball back trying to throw it. It's, I don't know. It's always a yeah, but like the yeah buts are a little tougher with Barry than, you know, the same thing with Pettin last year. But a win's a win. The defense kind of showed up. Things could be worse. I'm glad we got the W.
Well said.
I was just going to say, Goff is looking like me under pressure out there, right? When I get like a big assignment from work or something, immediately dropping stuff on the ground.
Like a school bus?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
How do you drop ever
have
a...
to? Do you have to wash school buses? Like, do school buses come through?
I don't do any of the washing, right? Like, I'm just the intake guy. So I do a lot of forms.
Okay.
Yeah, like I will hand the keys to each person, right?
Nice.
It's a pretty high... high level car wash, and so they need someone very organized,
sure,
and good under pressure. And it's been a little rocky lately, but I have some news later that we'll talk about.
All right,
in terms of the car wash,
exciting.
Stay tuned for that, everyone. Moving on to the game thoughts. Pretty crazy. We've been recording for what, like 20 minutes.
Is that
here.
What this is called? Game thoughts.
Game thoughts, game review, whatever the actual player breakdown.
Like thoughts, like.
Well.
THOTS?
Possibly. We'll see. Well, Jay Sternberger is gone. He's kind
That's
of.
That's how it autocorrects in my phone.
Nice.
We've been talking this long. However, we haven't mentioned Aaron Jones, who had 4 touchdowns in the game.
God.
17 carries for 67 yards, an average of only 3.9. The 1 rushing touchdown and 6 receptions for 48 yards. The 3 receiving touchdowns. One of those, it's like the most subtle 4 touchdown game ever. You know, he didn't have a ton of yards, wasn't really producing a ton in the run game. But, you know, once we were in the red zone, well, the gold zone was back this week. It was nice. Those little, you know, that easy little first touchdown where Rodgers had to throw it all of half a yard. Daphne blocking up front. He makes it look very, very easy. And as everyone knows now, too, he lost his chain that contained his father's ashes. But luckily, Flea, the head trainer, at like 2 in the morning, found it in the end zone and was able to return it. So that was, at least it was found.
I really like this tweet from Aaron Nagler. And it kind of, I mean, I guess it just kind of clicked for me with like kind of reading this concise point he makes where he says, Aaron Jones makes everything work. Whenever they get away from him for any length of time, the offense is nowhere near as efficient. Everything, run or pass, works better if it flows through or plays off him. And, like, that's just so true. Like, if you think about all the times they've struggled, it's Aaron Jones probably hasn't been involved. You look 2019, where I think Devontae missed 4 games, they went 4-0, and it's because you look at the Aaron Jones' numbers in those games, and he was caught 4 or 5 balls each game, ran for 70 plus yards each game. It's just, it really is that simple where he just makes everything go. If he's the focal point of the offense, they're going to score 28 plus points every week.
It's funny too, how early in his career, he did have some questions with his hands and his pass blocking.
Well, and his health.
And his health too. Yeah. Very early on. And now it's just like you said.
At this point, honestly, as crazy as this seems, I honestly would be more worried if Jones misses an extended length of time than I would be if Adams did.
God, I thought you were going to say Rodgers for a second.
Well, yeah, yes. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But in terms of skill guys, yeah, I just think he's entering that territory where Devontae was a year or two ago, where it's like, we all know he is one of the best at his position, but the rest of the world just doesn't seem to be there yet. And I think this might be a season where it's like, oh, Aaron Jones is top 3 at his position, and I think that might be a consensus opinion soon.
Yeah.
Like I totally agree, and I think one thing I will say is like there's when we do go away from him, it seems to be like those really weird games where he just gets like bodied,
right?
Like Tampa Bay, and then the 49ers, and like I don't know if that's necessarily him. Like I think like my low IQ brain is kind of like, oh, small man, big body, hitting him, he must not be so strong, you know, And so I wonder though if like the design, if it's just like a design thing too, like he can't there's no space for him to move or like what the deal is, but it is like strange.
That game plan against Tampa Bay last year is still perplexing to me, how they were trying to just push everything outside the tackles, all these sweeps, and like trying to outrun Devin White. It's like, come on, like run between the tackles
in both times.
Yeah. And, yeah, you're absolutely right, where if the game plan is not suited for Aaron Jones or we're going away from him, yeah, the offense just gets in this weird, stalled pace.
That's true. Very true. Someone who I think Hank would have liked to see, A.J. Dillon, he did just have the 5 rushes for 18, a 3.6 average, 1 catch for 8, which
catch
is
of the year.
Really nice.
Catch of the year.
Yeah, nice little ballerina
toe stomp,
as I would put it, with his gigantic legs. I thought it was Tunyon at first when he made the catch because it was such a big dude and he was able to get up there and make it. So once again, you know, coming out of college, everyone said he couldn't catch. He's once again proving that to be wrong.
Well, and I just, it's so hard because we get these little moments with AJ Dillon, you know. It's like when aunt's friend Janie comes over and like she's lifting up her skirt to tie her shoes. Mm-hmm. And you're just like kind of like getting, you're like, wow, Janie, there's a lot more you have to offer. And so like I just, you know, sometimes
the temptation is just overwhelming.
Yeah, sometimes. And it's so sometimes it is like that with AJ Dillon. And you're just like, you see the skirt kind of go up a little bit.
Just let me see more.
Yeah. And
more of them legs. Yeah.
All of a sudden, like I'm like excited. My pits are going and I just, okay. I'm not sure exactly what to do. And so like I don't know. AJ Dillon, I think about him a lot.
We know. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving on, the other guy who saw a lot of time in the backfield, Dominique Dafney. We didn't talk too much about him or see much of him week one, but especially with DeGuara being out. Dafney played 45% of the snaps on Monday night, and he actually out-snapped Robert Tonyan, which is kind of surprising. So I guess we'll see how involved he'll be going forward.
Speaking of tight ends, I actually think we can report some breaking news as of this recording. I believe that he's going to the Seahawks? Maybe not.
All right. Great breaking news. Sorry there, Kyle.
I thought it was great, Kyle.
Thank you.
Oh, I'll keep going. We'll see what you find out there.
Yes, Seahawks. Sternberger to the Seahawks.
Just the practice squad?
Yep. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, you know what? That one of the blonde boys is gone.
Who's the other blonde boy? Oh, Autumn. Mr. Autumn.
Yeah, Mr. Autumn. It rhymes with... Cy Hummer.
Bummers.
Okay. We'll
Bummer.
We'll talk about him later, too, because we saw a couple things during the game with him. Moving on quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, 22 completions on 27 attempts, 255 yards, the four touchdowns. And, I mean, God, there was a couple of them. I mean, what, the three to Jones had the air yards of, what, 10 yards total, maybe?
Half a yard, yeah.
Yeah, not much. But, once again, pretty good game. That throw to Tonyan, just whizzing by the defender's helmet.
It's... like, that throw is so damn ridiculous, and we take it for granted. Like, I'll say it every week. We take Aaron Rodgers for granted, and I'm going to forget about that throw in a month. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to remember it. But it's if, like, Jameis Winston made that throw, it'd be a top five throw of his career.
Right,
If Derek Carr made that throw, it'd be a top five throw of his career. Just such an insane throw, like, and the Peyton Manning reaction says it all. And I actually, that line that they said where the ball caught him, it's perfect. Like, literally, that I think is the new way I'm going to describe Aaron Rodgers, is the ball catches the wide receiver. He, like, he throws it to where you don't have a choice but to catch the ball.
That's what I always say about this pod. The pod caught Hank.
Wow.
Oh, thank you, Hank. Thank that really you. Means a lot. Yeah, Peyton Manning, he literally fell backwards in his chair and then started eating the football he was holding for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But yeah, nice bounce back game from Aaron. A little shaky early, but once again, after the Davante Adams deep bomb, he missed MBS three times, but whatever.
That's going to end. Oh, man. It's like a boiling pot that is just ready to erupt. Like, when that finally connects, it's going to be fireworks.
Have you ever, like, been in an office environment? I had an office job as a temp for a while, right? Mm-hmm. And basically what I did was I just was, like, the paper guy. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was just, like, the paper guy. And so they'd be like, here's some papers. Like, run these to an
file
run this to, like, an office. And there was just, like, one cool guy that always wore Metallica shirts.
Nice.
And, like, you know, you just, like, someone, like, cool that you kind of, like, you just want to be their friend. And you're like, damn, this guy, like.
Just an aura.
Like, you know, probably plays video games. Probably, like, lives in an apartment. And
long hair,
long
right?
hair. Orders pizzas on the weekend, but it never gains any weight. Mm-hmm. Always face looks great, but probably doesn't, like, overwash. And, but then you have a conversation with him, and it's like. You know, like, you get, like, a little too excited and, like, you constantly are, like, interrupting each other or, like, maybe Blake doesn't want to talk about what you want to talk about that day, or like he's not super into, you know, like cars and motorcycles like you think he'd be, and then it just never goes anywhere.
Where are we going with this?
That's just the kind of chemistry I feel MVS and Aaron have.
Oh, wow. That actually did come home.
I was wondering which way you're going to go with that one too. You stuck the landing. That was well worth it.
Like, that is very true though. Like, there's dudes where you're like, oh yeah, this guy seems cool, we have similar interests, and then yeah, you get to the actual friendship part and it's like, this isn't why is this not working? It should, on paper this should work beautifully, but it's not working.
Aaron's like, your name's Marquez, you're a streamer,
mm-hmm.
and like you have a really cool dog.
Two dogs.
Really cool.
You know, like, you know, I know it's not the same coast, but you lived on the ocean. Like, we're both ocean boys.
Whoa.
And I don't know. It's weird.
It's a really good point.
I guess we'll see. It's a long season to build that chemistry. We do have an extra game, so maybe that will occur. And since we're on it, cool guys with long hair, how do we feel about Aaron Rodgers' hair? We haven't talked about it too much week one, especially the grease pulled back. I think it's an aggressive move. His hair is starting to thin a little bit right in the center there, but today, his presser on Wednesday, it honestly looks like he was holding out of shampooing and conditioning his hair until the Packers won. Like, he probably rinsed before, but we're getting that volume.
It is weird. I just think, yeah, there just seems to be volume missing where there's just not a lot of texture up top. But yeah, like you said, it did look like it was fluffing today, and yeah, very good hair day for Mr. 12.
Yeah, so after the pod last week, I don't get out of the house much besides work, and so I was taking advantage of it, and you know, I was like, I can sneak this down into the basement before Uncle sees. But I went to Five Guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you get a bag of food at Five Guys, like, you know, the outside starts to get that like perma grease stain.
That's how you know it's good.
Yeah, that's like, I imagine if we put a brown bag over Aaron's head, that's more or less what the residue that would leave.
Over a couple minutes, it would start to appear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a bad observation.
Five Guys bag or disgusted Aaron Rodgers with a bag over his head. Yeah, that's a good point. Moving on to receivers, Devontae Adams had 8 receptions for 121 yards.
Quietest 121 yards ever.
He just has, like, every game he has is the quietest whatever game.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, week in and week out, he did his first catch of the game too. It probably could have been a pick six play where he made that, you know, 5-yard gain into a first down where he literally juked the shit out of 3 guys and just ran out of bounds.
There's going to be a game where he's going to have like 27 catches and 200 yards and just be like, wow, he had 27 catches, huh?
Yeah, wow. Devontae played in that game? Yeah. Moving on, Randall Cobb, 3 receptions for the 26 yards. Like we mentioned, he had the 2 first down catches. MVS, 3 targets, 0 receptions. Like I said, Rodgers said he could have had 3 touchdowns, but he felt so bad that he missed them 3 times.
Oh, it's bubbling. It's bubbling. You know, when you're making mac and cheese, you see the bubbles at the bottom start to slowly float up, and it's like, oh, it's almost time to get these noodles wet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost time to get the noodles wet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that.
Allen Lazard, no targets. I believe he only has 1 reception, if not 1 reception, 1 target on the season. I guess we're figuring out what this offense is with Randall Cobb and Amari Rodgers.
Go ahead, hurry up and say it. The Tonyan touchdown, he was wide open.
Oh, yeah, he was open on the Tonyan touchdown, but who really? You can't argue when you have a touchdown on the play.
Yeah,
so.
I wonder, like, Cobb had to have thrown, like, the biggest Allen wrench into Lazard's season.
Ooh.
Whoa. Like,
out of anyone.
Was that, I mean, that pun had to have been intended. Come on.
Well, yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was thinking of it.
You work on cars, or you see cars.
I see a lot of cars.
And they might have wrenches.
Not as much washing, but like, we do have a guy named Rick who comes in, you know, when someone makes a mistake, you know, and maybe something needs to be put back together. And he's a big wrench guy, has lots of wrench, he has a red toolbox.
cool. You know, so sometimes I open up Hank for, I open up Hank to comment or, you know, keep talking a little bit. And I'm like, okay, where is this going to go?
It's like the Michael Scott meme where it's like sometimes I'll start a sentence and I don't even know where I end up.
The last receiver to talk about, as I promised, I didn't think it would happen this early, but EQ was moved up from the practice squad this week because they were playing his brother, which was nice.
Because they had to get the jersey swap.
Had to get the jersey swap. So, Equimius, Tristan, and Hopatep, J. St. Brown, had one reception for 0 yards. So, there you
Wait,
go.
Wait, really? When? When was his...
Very late in the game, yeah. Oh, he had the one, I think it was a little screen or a little out route, and yeah, gained no yards.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, it was good for him. Robert Tonyan, the 3 catches for 52, obviously had the touchdown we've talked a lot about.
That first screen pass, just the beautiful.
Two other catches were screen passes, and yeah, it's nice to see like the entire offensive line just move together.
I think it was the same exact play that the Saints used to burn us on 4th and 7. It was action in motion on one side, and then tight end... had the whole defense, and yeah, I think very similar.
One of those fun plays where when the ball's in the air and right after he catches it, it's like, you know, it's getting at least 50
yards. Yeah, you don't see any opposing helmets. You see 3 big piles of beef in front of the pass catcher, and it's like, this is good news.
The other tight ends, DeGuara was out with a concussion from last week. Big Dog blocked, and Jay Sternberger got cut.
DeGuara back at practice today.
Yep, DeGuara was back at practice today, so that's good. I think we were all really scared week one when he went down after, you know, coming back from that ACL injury.
Because it's one of those where you just go limp. Sorry, Hank. But he just, like, when he went down, he was just, like, limp, didn't move. I hate those. Oof.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want a clarification. When you say Jace got cut, you mean cut, not fresh cut.
He got cut.
If Jace got a fresh cut, Spence would be much more pissed off reading that news.
Yeah. Oh, God.
How many dots under the Instagram photo when Jace gets that? Like, how many different angles are we getting of that fresh cut?
At least 3, and you know he's taking the barber and everything in the IG post too. But hey.
And will one of the pics be a mirror? Yeah. Mirror selfie
with a flash on, just to be a little bit more edgy in it too. But yeah, good luck to Jason Seattle. Moving on to the offensive line, Rodgers was sacked 3 times. 2 of them were late, but it's kind of just like crumple over whatever type sacks. Nothing. I'm not too worried right now. But they were good crumples, where like he's in the infant good fetal crumples. Fetal position before someone hits him.
Not
so you
the
know
second
he's,
one where he. He was patting, and then he went to go leave the pocket, and boom, yes, okay. That was a pretty big collision.
Yeah, that one wasn't good, but the other ones were fine.
And yeah, the last one was my favorite because it was 35-17 with like a handful of minutes left, you know, game decided. He gets sacked, and Elton is just pissed off.
Yeah.
You love seeing that shit from your old lineman. He was mad as hell.
And let's talk about him right now. We weren't able to talk about him much last week. He did pop up on the injury report today.
Ooh, that's right.
He didn't practice with an ankle injury. Matt did sound pretty positive, though, so at least it's nothing long-term. He said he'll fight to play this week. So
I don't
want to
get ahead of myself, but I can't think of a player outside of Rodgers that I would want to miss the game less.
It's weird, yeah, because Brian Bulaga and David Bakhtiari...
Against this opponent.
Yeah, because we would have to shuffle things around. We'll have to see. But I think we do need to talk about Elgton Jenkins. Just, he's turning into one of the best offensive linemen in the league very, very quickly.
Like, already.
It's weird how I'm already looking, a lot of people are, to next year, his contract year. And we're going to fall into this weird thing like we did with Jermichael Finley, who's a douchebag, back in the day, where when his contract was up, there was a big argument where he wanted to be paid as a top wide receiver, not a top tight end. And now with Elton, it's you almost want to stick him in at guard, at least this year, when we still have Billy Turner and Dennis Kelly, because you know he'll be able to play right tackle. Get that long-term deal wrapped up. Maybe lean more towards top guard money than tackle, and then move him over to right tackle.
I mean, yeah, that all sounds nice as words, but like Elton and his agent are dummies. Like,
absolutely. He is the most versatile offensive lineman.
Plus, ideally, like he would be plugged in at right tackle.
Right, which is something I've said
for the last... You were on that boat very early, which
it just makes sense where he's your second best offensive lineman. Billy Turner has been kind of up and down at tackle, yeah.
And the freakiest athletes on the field line up across the left and right tackles.
So. All he does is eliminate defenders. So yep. Yeah, you'd want to put that out on the edge. John Runyon started in place for Lucas Patrick, who had the concussion. He did still play. Lucas Patrick was in on special teams. We'll see if they go back to him. But
special teams, just like field goals?
Yep,
or?
Yep. That's literally what he did. Yeah, three of those. So John Runyon, he held up fine. Chris Myers is the top-rated rookie center. Josh, God damn it.
Chris, where'd you get that from?
Chris Myers is a sports radio guy.
Or is he the guy on Fox?
Yes, that's who it is. Yeah.
He's the play-by-play?
Same thing. So Josh Myers, yeah.
Any relation?
I
doubt it. Myers is pretty common.
Yeah, I think.
Josh Myers, right. Top-rated rookie, O-lineman.
Dude, grocery store, too.
Myers? I didn't know that was a...
I usually stick with, I do like Hy-Vee.
I like Lunds and Byerly.
Oh, kind of fucking, yeah, well, you kind of bougie. Right next to one. Yeah. Bougie.
Don't put me on blast.
yeah. There's only one in the area. But yeah, the young guys up front are still holding up pretty well. Myers, obviously, like we said, and Newman seemed to have a bounce back game. Billy Turner, haven't heard much from
if
him.
If for some reason you still doubt, well, and there's plenty of reasons to doubt Packers brass when it comes to drafting, but if you doubt their ability to scout and draft O-linemen, I simply cannot help you.
It's ridiculous. I said it last year. I'll say it again. For as much shit as we get nationally for not giving Rodgers enough weapons.
First round receivers.
Ridiculous. The offensive line, he's always had talent up front. And yeah, we really don't miss Jason Spriggs and who was the other tackle after we won the Super Bowl? Derek Sherrod are the only the only higher round draft picks that we've really missed on.
So Hank here, certified
Hank.
Fact checker.
Mm-hmm.
So I just checked a fact that I introduced to the group myself.
Okay.
So
very good.
Here it is. Let's hear it.
Yes. And so Myers grocery stores, mostly Illinois, Michigan area.
Okay.
Right. So not a
That's
lot of
bear
around
and
here.
Lion territory.
Yeah. So I just wanted to apologize for even speaking that into existence. I feel like I really fucked up there, and
hey.
I just know that I'm giving myself feedback
mm-hmm.
right away.
That's awesome.
I appreciate the apology. Accepted, and honestly, the apology wasn't necessary. But I'm also gonna hold you to your apology and. You said you were going to get better, and now I expect that.
Exactly. And, like, one of the things, like, not just feedback, but immediate feedback, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's one thing you can expect from me. So
perfect.
Yeah, like...
I mean, you are the fact checker. We literally need immediate
feedback.
I'm
like a basketball, right? If it doesn't go in the hoop, it comes right back to you. You know.
Nice.
All right. Well, perfect.
Thank you, Hank.
Well, thank you. It's nice for you to, you know, man up and...
That's a little triggering for me. Man up is something I've heard a lot at home. And okay. I'm just saying, like, one thing I'll ask, this is the only feedback I'll ever give you, but like,
okay.
Yeah, I just like not, I don't want to think about Uncle here. And I can't, this is what I would like to consider a safe space from Uncle. And even when, you know, when Uncle's around, Aunt's telling me to man up too.
Yep.
Also, other things, I prefer not to be called Nancy.
Okay. Okay.
And those are really the big two. Those are the big trigger things for me.
All right. Well, with that, hopefully this next ad will trigger you to buy something. We'll have a quick break here.
Hello, American football fans. Are you trying to score more clients? Well, now it is time to kick off a new email campaign. At B2B Data Guy, we pass your message to qualified receivers. We'd love to sit down and talk to you about how we can field your goals. We make sure your emails aren't intercepted by spam filters. Your emails won't get flagged for unnecessary sending. There's no market we can't tackle. We've never punted on a customer. We think we're a pretty fair catch. There's no way we won't insert football pun. With our message to the right audience, it's easy to touch down with qualified leads.
Visit b2bdataguy.com today.
All right, moving on to the defense. Sticking to things a little negative here, I did look a couple things up and some of the thoughts that we had. I guess, you know, once again, like we did with Pettine last year, there were some nice things. Like, it was just 17 points. You know, I guess, yeah.
0 points in the second half.
0 points in the second half when it was raining, you know. Also in the first half, the only time we got a stop is when, you know, the Lions committed penalties. But the Packers have the fourth lowest blitz rate in the league right now. We are also the only team in the league with only one sack, and it's the least sack of all time. Where, what, like we said, Goff fumbled the ball and just kind of landed on it. We're also last in pressure in the league in quarterback pressure.
I would like to see like who that kind of bottom tier is of blitz rate, and then kind of looking at who their, you know, four pass rushers are, because the Packers are obviously not getting home with four pass rushers.
Yeah.
So they need to up the blitz rate. But like, if a team like, you know, the Buccaneers,
I know
they,
the Raiders,
they don't have to, they can rush four all day. They got a bunch of dudes on that D-line.
I know the Raiders were close there too, and I think their defense has been okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know. One other thing though, the Packers, I don't know how exactly you can track this, but we have the least amount of missed tackles in the league right now too. So that's a little surprising.
Whoa, to read. Yeah, that's,
but once again,
something new.
I guess, well, I'll go into the stats here quick. Jared Goff, 26 for 36, 246 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 INT, was sacked the one time. He had a couple long runs. He did have the 46 yards rushing.
46? That's it?
Yeah.
It honestly feels like he got that on one run.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't too far.
And he
far
had
off.
Like, I think like it felt like 3 or 4 runs where I was like, this guy's still running?
I think he had 2 that were right around 20, and then a couple others that were for not so much.
That one run, Jared was running like uncles after him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. DeAndre Swift had 8 rushes for 37 yards. Jamal Williams had 7 rushes for 25. Swift also had 41 yards receiving. Hockenson, their tight end, pretty much their only real receiving threat. The 8 receptions for 66 yards. Obviously, the 1 touchdown on Devondre Campbell. Cephas had the 4 catches, 63 yards, had the other touchdown. And Amon-Ra St. Brown had 3 receptions for 18 yards. I don't know, moving right into it. The secondary, got to talk about Kevin King. Really bad. We've talked about him quite a bit. Like I said, they did move him into the slot. It'll be interesting to see what we do next week going up against the Niners.
It's so... It just feels, it feels insulting. Like, I don't know. I don't want to use that word lightly, but it really does. Like, everyone sees that Stokes should be the starter over King.
I mean, it is 2 weeks, but it's the same shit with Kevin. It's
but
always
it's like
these
we,
deep passes.
Yeah, it's like, we know what Kevin is and what he's capable of. Let's use his strengths, which, I mean, I'm not even sure what his strengths are anymore, but they're not to be the second cornerback on the team. Like, to just, like, just make the move.
It's something the...
What are we waiting for?
One of the big things with Joe Barry's defense when we first hired him on was how he would coach a defense to play to the strengths of the personnel. And
I just feel like probably every coordinator...
Sure. Well, but Pettine didn't really do that. He didn't do certain things. He had certain roles he wanted filled and would have players try to fit that. And with Kevin King, it's like you're playing to the weakness of some of these guys. You know, there's just no reason at this point. I feel bad for how much I don't like Kevin King, but
me too,
we're to that point.
Yeah, because every Packers fan is that way. And I feel really bad for Kevin King, the person, because, like, goddamn, to boo him
when
he gets introduced,
rough.
Come on.
Reports were out that he was
booed.
They announced
shit.
The defense this week for intros, and apparently,
like,
he was booed.
He is running out in front of his home crowd, and he gets booed.
That sucks. You can't be doing that shit. Hopefully it was a low boo. You know, boos travel further than cheers seem to in stadiums, but yeah, still not very
a
good.
Nice boo before a
ooh.
Booyah.
I just want to praise Kevin King for a few seconds here.
That's all you
like,
get, a few seconds.
Yeah, well, and so we were talking earlier about Patrick Peterson, and Spence, you said something about how Patrick Peterson might be like a good locker room guy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know. I was like, I for some reason during the Zoom era, the COVID era, I just feel like we got a really good glimpse into Kevin King as a person. Like the car interviews with like big gulps and like always carrying like he just like,
oh that's
yeah,
right
yeah. Like, and I just feel like you know, he's probably like one of those guys that like big gulps, chill, like hanging mm-hmm. out with you. Like, you want to watch a movie at the house later, I'll bring over the candy and like popcorn. And like, if he's making popcorn, he's probably also making it when putting like
yeah, we talked a lot about Eric Stokes. He had a good game too. The couple real big pass breakups. He had the nice stop in the end zone as well. He played 77% of the snaps on Monday too. Was the fourth highest rated player on defense according to PFF.
77%?
77. So he was
a lot higher than
it was 8% week one and 77. So if nothing else with Joe Barry, it's nice to
trending in the right direction.
Right. He is trending with personnel at least. Hopefully we'll see that on the defensive
line
as well.
That draft pick is beginning to look like a Stoke of Dream.
Wow.
That draft pick is beginning to look like a Stoke of genius.
Okay. I'm glad that it was a Stoke pun because there's been so many throughout the offseason, and that's the one that you stumbled on.
Can I use your bathtub? I'm going to go drown myself.
Hey, Hank, it's okay. At least you're trying like Kevin King. So, yeah, he had 5 targets, only 1 catch allowed, and forced 3 incompletions. So, hopefully, we see more of him. Jair Alexander, we haven't been able to talk much about him this year because he's in that weird space where he either has a great game where he makes these explosive games or he disappears, which is exactly what you want from your number one cornerback because he just doesn't allow receptions.
You just don't really even need to talk about Jair because his name just doesn't come up because he's not getting burnt and he's not getting thrown to. So he's literally just shutting down a third of the field, and that is very very nice for their peace of mind.
Yeah, we'll see what Joe Barry decides to do with kind of this rotation of where these corners are playing right now too. Shannon Sullivan played a bit, Adrian Amos and Savage did too. Once again, like Jair, there isn't too much to say about either of those guys. Just still pretty consistent.
Yeah, it sounds like the Savage injury in week one was just because they were getting their ass kicked, and I think he did practice all week and he did play probably all the snaps, I imagine, so should not be a concern going forward.
Yep.
I didn't even know he played.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's weird too. And Ben Fennell talked about this last week too, where he said, I don't know what Savage is, because for such a fast, rangy, explosive player, he doesn't make those plays, but he also doesn't mess up either. So it's kind of, I guess we're still waiting for him to make that jump.
Well, no, because I remember probably a year ago exactly, we were probably having this exact conversation.
It was worse. We didn't know. And I remember I was about Savage. Said, I was like, are we going to turn him to a corner? Because he was not having a
it was like, yeah, it was like, it was like the ha-ha scale or whatever. Yes. And we were just like, we just don't know. We'll just wait and see. And then all of a sudden he just, like him and Amos were like the best safety tandem the second half of the year. And then, yeah, he kind of slow out the gate this year. So I'm not worried whatsoever. I think he's still going to be.
He's not making mistakes, and that's what you want from the secondary.
But I'm, like you said, Ben said, I want the explosiveness to start showing up and the game-changing plays, and I'm very confident that will show up.
Hopefully we'll see that soon. Moving on to the linebackers, Devondre Campbell. A lot of people were kind of on him even after this game, too. He does, you know, allow a lot of receptions, but he did play 100% of the snaps on Monday. He was the second highest rated player according to PFF. And once again, we said this last year, I'll say it again. The way Pro Football Focus works is 3 different guys that they have on their staff watch every single snap of the game and watch an individual player. They give him a rating 1 through 100 on every single play, and they take the average between the 3. So that's how these numbers come together.
So we will use them selectively and trash them selectively.
Do you think that like the guy that gets EQ that game is just like, fuck yeah, early night?
I do wonder how they do that. But yeah, I like Campbell a lot. I said this when we were watching the game. He does allow these receptions, like the Hawkinson touchdown.
Just a perfect throw.
Perfect throw. Great. And he shouldn't be matched up against Hawkinson either, really.
Yeah, well, and it was
in that kind of
red
zone. That's tough.
Yeah, but I mean, it was good coverage. I mean, you can't really play it any better with that type of throw. It was just a perfect throw, perfect catch.
And he does allow the receptions, but he tackles the guys almost immediately, which is an upgrade for
us. Very magnetic tackler.
Chris Barnes had three run stops and recovered the muff snap. Didn't play as much.
Well, Campbell had that pick, too. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Sorry, yes. Campbell had the pick late in the game, too. I believe that pressure was forced from either Chauncey Rivers or Jonathan Garvin. I don't remember, but they had a fair amount of snaps, too. Alluded to it earlier. Someone else we need to talk about.
More like Chauncey Waterfalls.
Oh, God. I forgot about that. Yeah,
I made that joke.
Right. Yeah, it's an excellent joke.
It still landed.
Another excellent joke. Ty Summers. So we pointed this out watching the game. He is very smart with with being seen. We had the two turnovers, the fumble, and then the pick. And you see Ty Summers immediately,
seriously,
in the front for these when they run and do the D train thing. He guess how many snaps Ty played on Monday?
Zero.
He had zero defensive snaps, but he's the first one off the sideline, just God, ready to go.
I mean, if he could fill a gap like that on first and 10, geez, he'd be an all pro.
True. God,
like both turnovers, he's just like front and center right away. It's like, geez.
Yeah, and I guess this is the one time where I'll actually ask for it. Hank, thoughts on Ty Summers this week?
Yeah, I just like, you know that at home, he has like a little conductor hat that like is like above his bed, and he's like know your place.
I'm the conductor.
Know your place. I'm the conductor, and I make all things go. And I don't know, like he's like I guess you like you got like I don't blame him for running up there. I don't blame him for it. You know what
I guess
I mean?
I'd want to be part of it too.
Yeah,
why not?
Absolutely, but I do blame him any other time he's on the field.
Okay, that's fair. Moving on to the outside linebackers, Preston Smith had two pressures, one QB hit. Gary had the first sack of the season, where if you got me last year for winning the first bold prediction with Kamal Martin getting a sack by chasing a quarterback out of bounds.
Oh, yeah.
Gary, this was so much worse than that, where he just like was in the vicinity and patty caked him when he fell on the ball. Gary, once again, you know, we didn't have much pressure sending 4 and 5 in the first half, and you kind of, you know, we feel really highly about Z, Preston, and Gary. Z obviously didn't play, but you'd like to see a little bit more out of them. The pocket doesn't really seem to collapse all that much, but at the same time, Gary did have a winning percentage of 19.2. For reference, TJ Watt last year led the league in 29, and to round out the top 10, DeMarcus Lawrence was 10th at 21%. So Gary still is apparently pressuring them, but I'm not seeing it as much as other people. Apparently.
Yeah, they're not getting home with four. And yeah, the big talk of the blogosphere this week in Packers world was how LaFleur mentioned, I think in his postgame presser, about he chatted with Barry at halftime and was like, hey, you know, the man coverage isn't working. It's time to dial up some pressure. And now people are kind of running with it like, oh, the D coordinator's not coordinating his defense and you need the head coach to do that. And yeah, I don't know. It might be a little overblown, but I mean, I think LaFleur is absolutely right into butt in and say, hey, Barry, it's time to heat it up.
Because I saw that this morning too, because Aaron Nagler obviously tweeted about that, where you know that was the big talk after, because Matt LaFleur said, hey, maybe we should send more, do one or the other. And Nagler tweeted out the fact that so many people are taking this one mention of a halftime conversation between a coach and his coordinator and blowing it up into a narrative is almost shocking. Well, Nagler is great most of the time, but it's also like, fuck you, man. Like I said earlier, we're fourth least in blitzing. We have the least amount of QB pressures in the league. We should have zero sacks on the season, which would be two less than any other team. And six quarters through the season, the offensive-minded head coach had to go to a defensive coordinator who has been a defensive coordinator for four seasons and had to say, hey, let's switch it up and actually fucking pressure Jared Goff when we're going up against Jared Goff and Jameis Winston and we couldn't bring the heat. Like, I'm sorry, but there is, when we're dumb idiots and we're seeing shit and we see the coach saying the same shit, I mean, it should be pretty easy. And once again, LaFleur has history with this guy. LaFleur came into the league in the Rams as like an assistant. So think of LaFleur was an assistant under this guy before, you know, on the offensive side. They worked together. He was a higher up. And now he has to go to him and be like, dude, what are we fucking doing? It's like, obviously I got a little heated
this is
there,
yeah, but this is outrage inception, because LaFleur was outraged. Barry wasn't blitzing. So then people were outraged that LaFleur needed to do that. And so then Nagler were outraged that people were outraged. And now you're outraged that Nagler's outraged that people are outraged.
Welcome to the internet.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's how it works.
I'm just going to say, I'm just like feeling, I just like that outrage right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just like watching it, like feeling it in my right knee, my bad knee. And like, it's just, that was great. Like just chilled out my whole body and just sitting there now and like a little home. And, you know, I just like, I have two things to add.
Okay, Hank.
And the theme here is friendship. And so the first one is like, I just want to self-promote and read my tweet about Joe Barry.
Okay.
Joe Barry is a great example of why you don't hire your friends to a job, because they just tell you they're going to do a great job. Then they end up on your podcast for a second time talking about why they like this year's roster's names.
I did not see that.
That sounds very familiar.
Yeah. Who's so, that about? Like, I think sometimes it's hard when you're like hiring your friends, right? Like maybe that would be my advice to Matt. As someone who doesn't have a lot of friends and so has never had to hire any friends.
Nice.
And also doesn't have a job where hiring privileges.
Right.
But don't hire your friends. Second thing about friendship is like...
I forgot there was a second.
Like, I had a friend once. It was a long time ago. But, you know, I think, like, I was a little overeager and I was always like, hey, James, do you want to hang out? You know, and I would like ask him maybe twice a day, and sometimes it would be over text, and like this was before red messages, but no, hold on, this I just want to finish this, but that's what I would say, like that little bit of pressure, that's the type of pressure Rashawn Gary's been getting.
Perfect. Well, speaking of pressure, moving on to the defensive line, Kenny Clark is about the only guy to talk about. He had 5 pressures allegedly on Monday. Apparently in the second half, they moved him around to another adjustment from Barry. They moved Kenny over Regnow, and then after that, he was getting more pressure, so that's nice. And he was the highest-rated player on defense, along with Devondre Campbell. Speaking of the rated players, Dean Lowry, Tyler Lancaster, and Kingsley Keke were the three lowest-rated players on defense. Keke was the lowest, and he is the lowest-rated player on the Packers right now. He had a lot of kind of hype going into this year. This is his third season. I don't know what to say. It's still kind of tough to judge defensive linemen, but the pass rushing defensive lineman, Kingsley Keke,
D-line, yeah,
isn't really showing up very much right now.
Yeah, you're a big Keke guy, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of good hype with him. You know, him and those couple games last year, too, where him and Gary seemed to show up and each have like a sack or two, and maybe they'll come and burst, but God, he's getting beat off the line. Nothing close to Tyler Lancaster. I'm sure a lot of people saw that clip from Ben Fenton where he
goodness,
just got
where, yeah, he
pushed
said,
backwards.
I think he said you'd literally be better if you just like, what do you say? Like, it'd be better if you just like laid down.
Yeah, literally.
And not even get blown over like that.
Yeah, literally. And that's all I had for the defense. I don't know, better. Still 17 points. Like we said, with Adams, like the most... Oh my God, out of nowhere, what a great game with the defense. It's like, oh, 17 points. Yeah, you'd take that every single week. But with that, we will move on to, is Kyle an idiot?
Ooh. I'm not an idiot.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
All right, we are back. Is Kyle an idiot for the week? Kyle, you are 2-1 thus far, thus proving you are not an idiot, but that could change today.
Oh, no.
3 more questions. I do now have a question checker. I work with a man named William, and I always ask him the questions beforehand to see if, you know, maybe I'm way off with the difficulty. He is a fan. He listens to the show, so he does have kind of an idea of your intelligence.
Okay, William. Just, you know, we'll be in touch for future segments, and, you know, maybe you can slide me a couple answers or a couple questions.
I wish I had a friend named William.
Oh, and that's Hank's still here. We're adding a lifeline to if Kyle once a week, if he doesn't know the answer, he can ask Hank for help. So we'll see how that goes. I'm sure it could only be positive. First question. Before, we all know Randall Cobb is back, before the 2021 season, who was the last player to wear number 18?
So not like the training camp? Anything?
Correct. To make the 53-man roster.
I don't think anyone wore it after Cobb left. Can I use my... actually, no. 18. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, what would your guess?
18. Who the hell is it?
Go with your gut.
I don't have a gut.
You had a gut.
All I can think about is that quarterback. The DeGaulle or whatever.
He was not on the 53.
I know.
Roster. Go with your gut. You're thinking too hard.
It wasn't. No. How am I thinking too hard?
You're thinking too hard. Before the 2021 season, who was the last player to wear number 18?
On the Green Bay Packers?
Correct.
It's not. Is it? No, Tavon was 16.
Correct.
I don't know.
Help him.
Can it be Randall Cobb?
It is Randall Cobb.
It's not fair that he tricked you like that.
I thought it was interesting. Nobody did wear number 18 in the time Randall Cobb left. So they did cut that quarterback, not DeGuara, Della Dolger, whatever the hell it was, to give him number 18 back. But, I mean, you had it, so I'll give you that, Kyle. Like, come on. I couldn't have pushed you any further to be like, go with your gut. It's not that hard. Kyle, come on. It's okay. Turn that frown upside down. Kyle isn't happy.
Next question, please.
You know, I've written like 150 of these fucking questions. It's getting tough, okay? Number two. What team has Aaron Rodgers lost to the most in the playoffs?
The Niners.
Correct. Who are we playing this week? Great job, Kyle. Moving on.
Okay.
Oh, well, no. What were you going to say?
Well, it's related to Stump Spenny, so.
Okay. Oh, good. Wow, you're prepared this week. Number three, the third question, which is what three means. Vernon Davis was a first-round draft pick for the Niners back in the day. Who did the Packers draft one pick before him?
Jeez. This had to have been 08, 07, 09.
Something like that. It's one of those years.
One pick before him. He was a high pick. I remember he was a crazy prospect out of Maryland. One pick before him. This might be really dumb. No, this is actually for sure dumb. I'm not going to guess it.
Wow, okay.
Well, then maybe it's this one. I'll go with Clay Matthews.
AJ Hawk is the correct answer. Is that who you're
thinking
of?
Oh, my God. I thought that was too far back.
Yeah,
wasn't that 05?
No. Cause
son of a bitch. I was going to go with AJ.
I can't remember. Now I can't remember what year it is. Maybe it was 2006. Well, God, it was Nick Collins and Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, AJ Hawk. That was still weird. It was really weird. I went back and saw Ted Thompson's comments on AJ Hawk, and it was the most glowing review I've ever heard him talk about a player.
I'm so pissed because I knew Vernon was a high pick, so it had to have been around the time.
Well, tit for tat, you know, Cobb, AJ Hawk, so you're still coming out ahead.
No, that Cobb question was horrific.
Either way, pretty good for the week there. 2-1.
And
you
three.
Were 4-2.
And
no, on the
I'm
season.
Not. I'm not taking that.
Wow.
I'm 3-3.
Wow. Rough.
You stand up for yourself.
This is me standing up. I'm not getting a pity win.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You need to believe in yourself.
Thank
because
you.
That's a good point. Your instinct is right, and your gut's right, and it's trim, and it's looking great.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you.
That was very nice. All right, Kyle. What is the Stump Spenny question this week?
What is Rodgers' regular season record
oh.
against the Niners?
Can you tell me how many games there are?
8.
God, it is not good. It can't be good. I feel like the only time he beat them is when they have their backup. We beat Colin Kaepernick once. We beat Nick Mullins. And then we beat Jimmy G last year. Is there Monday any night. Between there?
Monday night.
Monday night? What, we had a Monday night game?
Or did Mullins get that start?
Yeah, I thought that was a prime time game. Well, just because that you're murmuring there, is it 4-4?
No.
It's 3-5? What is it?
5-3.
God damn it, yeah. Oh, 5-3, so we have two more wins.
Yeah.
God, I guess they were pretty shitty before. Well, no, because fucking that guy I hated, Harbaugh. God, he was the worst.
Yeah, but I only found it in the article, and he's 0-3 against him in the postseason. 0-3.
Yeah, well, you knew that.
And that
the three losses.
That is painful.
Mm-hmm. Pain, like you like to say on the podcast mm-hmm. quite a bit. So that was the trivia for the week. We'll move right into the preview. We are playing the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday Night Football. Once again, we've talked about this before, but my favorite broadcast, I do like the Sunday night. You can't really beat the two guys calling it, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. Collinsworth kind of sucks, whatever. 7:20 kickoff.
He does have such a good smile, though.
That's true. He's got a weird-shaped head, but he's got a nice smile. The Niners are favored by 3.5. Over-under is 50.5. This game is in San Francisco, where we never seem to really be able to win unless we're going up against a broken Niners team.
CJ Beathard.
Yeah, C.J. Beathard, who I remember...
A.K.A. you.
Yeah, a drunk girl before told me that I look like C.J. Beathard. This was back when she was going to Iowa, she told me. So there you go, fun fact. Yeah, the Niners on offense, they're 18th in yards, 15th pass yards, 9th in rushing yards, 8th in points. Jimmy G has a completion percentage of 70.7 this season. He's only been sacked once. The running backs are all banged up. Not really sure who's going to start. Mostert, who destroyed us in the playoffs, is on the IR. He's out for the year. Elijah Mitchell, the guy who kind of popped up this preseason, he has a concussion, I believe, and he didn't practice today either, so we're not really sure who's going to be
their
running back.
Yeah, their running back room is hilarious. It's literally like 8 names deep. Like, they just poached someone from the Bengals practice squad, who is a mammoth of a human.
Oh, yeah.
And they got, yeah, that rookie from Ohio State who's banged up.
Yep. Yeah.
Hasty, he's done for a while. Yeah.
It's bad that even though they're, you know, the walking dead right now in that running back room, I still believe they're going to run the ball pretty good on us because Shanahan just always can scheme against us.
Yep.
For receivers, Deebo Samuel is the leading receiver, 15 receptions, 282 yards, 1 touchdown. They also have Greg Kittle, obviously. Just 95 yards on the season, hasn't scored. Brandon Ayuk in the second year, he hasn't done a hell of a lot this year, and they have Mohamed Sanu as well. On defense, they're 13th in points. They have 5 sacks on the season. Nick Bosa has 3 of them. He's obviously pretty fucking good. D Ford is still on the team, has a sack on the season 2. Eric Armstead is another great guy in the front 7. Josh Norman actually plays on the team. Little fun fact, I don't know if a lot of us remember that. And they have Jimmy Ward, pretty good safety back there too. So that is the San Francisco 49ers. They are 2-0. They beat the Eagles last week after beating the Lions week 1. I don't know. It's tough to not get the heebie-jeebies thinking about going against Kyle Shanahan, at least for me. It's once again, any type of offensive mind seems to do really well against whatever defense and defensive coordinator we have. Kyle, what you thinking?
Yeah, the heebie-jeebies is pretty much a great way to sum it up, going to San Fran for this game and a Kyle Shanahan coach team against a Kyle Shanahan coach offense against a Joe Barry coach defense. I'm terrified there. I mean, only being 3.5-point dogs is a good sign to me because, like we've mentioned before, 3 is kind of the pretty much the standard that a home team gets. So Vegas really only thinks it's about the Niners are about 0.5 point better. So yeah, I don't know. I'm very nervous, but I think the offense can score enough points. I think Aaron Rodgers can match because this defense isn't what we're used to. Like, when we went to San Fran and lost 35-8, this is not the same defense as that.
Yeah, similar. Well, right. Similar personnel. They have talent, but Saleh is the head coach of the Jets as well.
And so I think Rodgers can put enough points to where if it is a shootout, they'll be competitive. But yeah, it just comes down to if Barry can put together enough stops.
It will be interesting too. We've talked a lot about the offensive line, or at least a little bit, especially the youth in the middle there. This will be a good test because they do have a pretty solid front seven, and I'm sure they'll scheme things up that they haven't seen so far against, you know, the Lions and the Saints. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I still worried, but shit, I guess we can get right into predictions. Kyle, what is your score prediction for this game?
Oh, man, this is a tough one. I really...
Elton Jenkins, you know, still iffy.
Yeah,
I feel like he's going
to
be questionable.
Considered as well, because
huge.
I mean, that matchup with him and Bosa is going to be fireworks. But then, I mean, whoever Trent Williams goes up against, whether it be Preston or Gary, I think.
Yeah,
Trent. I mean, he's the 1B to Bakhtiari's 1A in terms of left tackles.
Yep.
So he's going to shut down whoever he's matched up with.
He did. He signed a contract this offseason too, where he pretty much like. Barely, like it was like a dollar more.
It was like it was like 0.005. Yeah. Yeah. I think I'll never pick up against the Packers. It's I forgot to mention this. I said this to you guys, but not to the listeners. I said if the Packers win by more than 6 points against the Lions, it's back to relentless optimism. And so I'm here now until Joe Barry gets 40 hung on him. But okay, here's the prediction. It's going to be the Packers 31-28.
Yes. Yep. God, I have a pretty similar score, and honestly I keep going back and forth with the score. I have a score of 28-27. I feel like it's got to be one of these games. It's got to be more of a nail biter with both of us at full strength. It's kind of weird too. The Matt LaFleur, I'll just mention this briefly. One of the things that kicked off the summer of Rodgers was that morning of the draft was that little rumor that the Niners were trying to trade for Aaron Rodgers. Well, a lot of people think that there was some form of tampering, that Kyle Shanahan was actually talking to Rodgers, and it was a last-ditch effort. Like, hey, if they're going to move on from you, maybe we could do it right now before they, you know, drafted Trey Lance. So Matt was kind of asked about it today, and Matt's a very bad liar, and he couldn't care less about it. So I wonder how much tampering actually did go on. It sounds like maybe there was a call that was made, and they threw it off right away, but... it's something, I wonder how much that'll be talked about before the game, but whatever, we'll see.
He's got a very, Kyle Shanahan is well respected, and...
I could see him pulling a snake move.
And in obviously a football mind that is unlike a lot of people on earth who have ever been in the NFL, but... he's just got a trust fund baby aura to him. And just a skeevy little rat. Just was, getting in between the crevices and just finding any little advantage or loophole he can. He just...
Especially when he was with the Falcons, I had that feeling. Because it was like, oh, he's, you know, the son of, you know, all that. And now...
But he's obviously proven that his offensive game plans and his offensive mind is like... second to none in the league.
When we fired Mike McCarthy was that year that the Niners were struggling as well with a lot of injuries, and that's when I was like, I hope they fucking fire Shanahan, because I would have loved him to be the head coach.
And tampering with Matt's QB, it's kind of like an older brother like kissing his younger brother's wife.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, hey.
And that's just, you can't, that's crossing so many lines. It's, yeah.
Oof. Yeah. No one kisses someone else's quarterback either, so. Thank you for that, Hank. Yeah, I'll go 28-27 Packers win. Hank, what is your prediction?
Yeah, so I'm sorry. I'm not going to be relentlessly optimistic yet. But
sounds like
I can't go the other way as a fan, because if I go the other way, like the opposite's going to happen. And so like I have to...
you give yourself too much credit.
Ooh, I don't know. Well, until I'm... in the basement.
Fair.
Being like, why the hell did I predict that?
You live in a basement?
I do. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm just going to go, you know, 100T, 24-24.
24-24.
Predicting a tie. Okay.
That would be remarkable. You would win predictions for the season if that happens.
Yeah.
That reminds me, Homer for ESPN, he predicted a score and it happened and it was a scorigami. Like the most unbelievable.
What?
Yeah, I forgot what game it was.
Scorigami. I love those.
Predicting it too. Unbelievable. Kyle, what is your bold prediction for the week?
I said I wouldn't do it.
You know, sorry. Once again, we haven't explained it yet this year.
You just totally ruined my
bold predictions are something that probably won't happen. It would be rare, but this is our bold out there prediction for the week. Sorry, we didn't say that last week.
I said I wouldn't do it again. Ever since I last did it.
Uh oh. Hank, do you hear that?
But do you hear it? You hear it? It's rumbling.
Uh oh.
He's back, baby. All aboard. MVS Express. I said the pot was boiling, and now we have a grease fire on our hands. I actually don't know where. I don't know why. That made no sense.
Aaron Rodgers' hair.
You're boiling a pot of grease?
Yes. And now it's going to be fireworks, baby. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a... No, hold on. I'm going to go... 70 plus yard touchdown for MVS.
All right.
It's happening. It's happening. The Niners secondary is definitely the weakest bunch on their defense. And MVS has got Olympian speed. It's happening this week. 70 plus yard touchdown.
All right.
If it's a 68 yard touchdown, I still cash. All right. 65 plus yard touchdown. Oh, 70.
67 plus.
60. There we go.
Break the middle there. Yeah. Well, hey, that's a great prediction. I had 2 touchdowns last week as my prediction for MVS, and he had no catches. So good luck on that. My bold prediction, we've talked about him a bit. Eric Stokes, first career INT.
Ooh.
I just think it's due. He's, for not being a playmaker, he's right around the ball quite a bit. Maybe it'll be, you know, just a little bit worse of a ball. It is Jimmy G after all. 3 really not good quarterbacks to start the season.
And that's a good one because Kyle strikes me as the type where he's not going to throw at Jair because he is smart. And so he's going to want to pick on Stokes a lot. And yeah, I think you're going to get a lot of chances for that one to cash.
I sure hope so. Hank, what is your bold prediction?
I just have to say, like last year, I was sitting when I've heard my first MVS Express, you know, sitting watching the rain leak down the basement wall.
Yeah.
And to be here and hear an MVS Express in person, I don't know. It's hard. It's like, how far have I really come?
Yeah. Yeah. You've made it.
Yeah. Thanks. That's nice to hear, actually, for us, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so I think my bold prediction is that you remember that play last year from Derrick Henry on Josh Norman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's A.J. Dillon time.
Whoa.
Okay.
So we get like A.J. Dillon produces a meme?
Produces like a meme and all, like cartwheel. Cartwheel, like one of those like dun, 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 dun. And like it's like this like going off into different like landscapes.
Oh,
okay, I gotcha. That's a little better. Now I follow Kyle.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is I love this bowl prediction. It's very unique. Like to A.J. Dillon to produce a meme. That's
okay.
That's
great.
Well,
we'll have to track it because Cheesehead TV does have him on a weekly show. Don't listen to it. Just listen to us. So if they're the ones who create it, you know, we'll take it with a grain of salt because they're trying to promote their own brand.
But if it's like, if you got like, you know, it's a meme if like the SportsCenter account is tweeting some stupid joke with like the laughing emoji caption, like,
oh,
who
God.
Made this? Who did this, fam?
Bleacher Report is doing it, and then everyone's like, why?
Yeah.
Why? What did you just write? Like, who did this?
Fam, who did this? What are those? Yes. So we'll see. It'll be subjective. The most subjective bold prediction we've
AJ
ever had.
AJ Dillon's so lit.
But with that, closing out the episode here quick before Hank has his, you know, according to Hank, if you could please leave a review or a rating, that would be great. Just go on iTunes there quick or Spotify, whatever. Leave a 5-star review. It would be great. More people will listen. We do have a new review this week from J-Dog. Five stars, cream of the crop.
Oh.
The only podcast I listen to, refreshing to hear self-aware Packer fans talk about the team and not act like experts. Ah, cut and dry, pretty easy. Thank you, J-Dog.
Shout out J-Dog. Hell yeah. Clear, concise, self-aware. I like that. I like to consider myself self-aware.
Ooh, that rolls right off the tongue. But with that...
I'm too aware of myself.
We know. Times. Yeah, you live in a basement, your aunt and uncle's basement. We know. With that, close out the show. Everyone's favorite segment, Hank. According to Hank, what do you have this week?
Yeah, all right. So it won't be as long this week, I guess. But like, I just had a couple thoughts as I was like watching the game and sitting in the Ment and, you know, just getting through the week. And like I said, like it's nothing's perfect right now. It's like I'm half here, half there. You know, copied kind of in that like liminal week right now. And so like, first off, I have Jason Space. And because hopefully Jace is in a different universe right now, I'm okay with him not being on the team pretty much. And, you know, we'll see what the Seahawks can do with him, I guess. Next is Stoke the Fire, because, I mean, self-explanatory. We got some heat on the defense now. It's good to see.
I'm
really hoping that it wasn't just the rain that made the Lions a little wet and hard to hold on to stuff, you know. So I'm just hoping that, you know, I'm just hoping it's more just like there's some real heat on the defense. We can build on that momentum. You know, the next thing is, yeah, like, it is tough, right?
Yeah.
This is tough. So I'm just going to say, like, it's kind of like I feel like the dating game right now. Look at the Packers. It's like sometimes, like, I don't know, like the second date was okay, you know, it was good, and like the girl was cool, guy was cool too, like it doesn't matter, like I guess it just depends on, I just don't want to leave anyone out of this conversation.
Thank you so much.
And so, like, but the first, the date before, the girl before, the guy before just left that hole in the heart, and I don't know what to do. I can't stop thinking about what had happened at one point in my life, and you know, I can't stop thinking about Cindy. I never want to be with you, but I understand that you are a part of who I am and you make up my life, and so every relationship going forward, you're there. Next, never question the boss except when it's a matter of helping Kyle. And so, like, I really just have to say this, Spencer, but that question was like the uncool teacher question. Yo, right? It was like facts. The science teacher who was like, "Oh, look at me. I'm a science teacher and I know biology and evolution."
See, Hank gets it, man.
And like, so like,
you got the question right, Hank.
Well, I know. But that's because I've been tricked so much in my life.
Thank you, Hank.
Yeah, my next thing is, if Brian Greasy says one more thing about AJ Dillon, I'm going to go to Chet's car. I'm going to steal a windshield wiper and I'm going to make a fucking shank.
Whoa. All right. That's, let's reel it in.
He's far away too.
Yeah. And, you know, so I'll say this before I get into like, what I'll get into, but win for the Pack. There's also a win for Hank here. I have a job interview at Menards this week.
Oh.
It was a rough first half, but it was a strong second. And when I left, the manager, he said, you know, we're always looking for talent, and you look like you're built to carry wood.
That's really nice.
I hope you get it.
Menards is a great place to
work. Good luck, man. Everyone wish Hank luck.
I really like the strange assortment of snacks.
Yeah.
And okay. So lastly is we got, so still not a fan of Aaron Rodgers' book choice. And so I'm going to do like, I guess, going off his choice of The Giver. Kind of like a book list that I could see him creating, right? So the first book is a book like about a young girl and boy, and they discover friendship and loss and heartbreak. Bridge to Terabithia.
Terrible movie.
Second,
like Chronicles.
Second book is, you know, it's a loved favorite among children everywhere, Hatchet.
I do love, that's like the last book I've read.
Yeah, fifth grade me loves that book.
Yeah, yeah. And so third would be The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale.
So that is the mock
egregious name.
Four, I just got to say the movie is much, or like, is not as good as the book for this one, just so we know. And it's Where the Wild Things Are. Next one, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. Six, like, this book is good. It's a book about friendship. You might be familiar with Harold and George and their like adventures with Mr. Krupp, but Captain Underpants by Dave Pickley.
I do love the flip-o-ramas,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And seven, the Divergent series.
Uh-oh. Hank, where are you getting with this?
Well, we know with Divergent, right? Like, why that would be on the book list.
Well, obviously because Roger's fiance or wife, whatever they are now. What's her name again?
Shailene Woodley.
Yeah, so yes. It would be a shameless plug, right?
She acted in those movies, yes.
But basically with this book list, the big thing is, like, everything I can tell, Aaron Rodgers actually hasn't read a book since he was in fifth grade. Sixth grade, maybe. Like, I can't help wondering, like, I think we should start a segment called, like, is it Hank's IQ or the Lexile level of the book Rodgers is reading?
I don't know how to what is the Lexile level?
Yeah.
I don't. It's like how complicated the word and sentence structure is in the book.
You work at a car wash?
You know the Lexile.
Well, I had a reading problem when I was in school, and so like I was a slave to the Lexile level. And
okay.
So
that makes
all
a lot
my
of sense.
Teachers was like, well, is this a Lexile level that Hank can handle? And usually the answer was no. And so, you know, now, like, when I'm having a tough time, like, Uncle will be like, hey, look at, there's Lexile loser Hank. Big fucking loser. Can't even read.
You can read.
I mean, clearly you can read, though.
Yeah, you had an interview.
Screw that guy.
We're rooting
for
you.
Did have an interview. But, like, most of the interview, like, fair warning, was like, oral.
Oh, you had to talk a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of the interview was talking.
Okay.
So wasn't doing a lot of reading during the interview, but I can read okay.
I think so. You're a pretty good talker too. Sometimes you might trail on. Hopefully you didn't have too many large tangents that got you into trouble in the interview, but we're all wishing you the best of luck there, Hank.
Hopefully, good luck, Hank.
Hopefully next week we'll have some positive news from you for a change.
I really, really hope so. I feel like this could be the one.
All right. I think so too. Is that all you have this week for According to Hank?
Yeah, that's a short week. But that's all I got. Make sure to check out the book list at a sixth grade classroom near you.
All right. Well, with that, I don't have anything else. Kyle, do you have anything else?
I do not.
Hank, still nothing else?
I'm just so happy to be here.
Okay. Well, with that, Sean Rowe, please don't sue us.
Go, Pack, go.
I've been up too late in this dive bar and dipped the wrong song into alcohol. Now I love you, but I can't believe you're from Ohio. I love your squid tattoo. I love the way you live. I love your black lipstick that you're speaking with. Yeah, you strike me as just a right kind of crazy. Beer in my hand tonight, I'm gonna spin this room, I'm gonna change my life. I'm just waiting for you to raise one of your eyebrows. If you could see just who I was the second before I fell hard into your doorway. No.
goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.